I'm claustrophobic. I hate the idea of a tight, confined space. Put a lot of people in a tight space and I start to get really anxious. You know, this is a crowded elevator, like you see the image there. That's, I have to work myself up to be able to go, knowing if I know I have to go into something like that. And it's weird, because a large crowd outside, that doesn't bother me. But you put four walls and a ceiling around them, and I start to develop a lot of anxiety and panic. So I guess in that respect, this COVID-19 social distancing kind of thing is, in some ways, it kind of works for me. Now, my claustrophobia is an irrational fear. But I also have, you know, very rational fears. Like, you know, with this pandemic, I feared transmitting the virus to my mother, who was going through chemotherapy, therefore at very high risk. That is a rational fear. Another rational fear I have is actually a very biblical one. The fear of the Lord. We don't talk about it very much, but fear of the Lord is what Jesus is talking about today. Jesus tells us, you know, fear no one, even if they can harm us physically, but rather we need to ensure that we don't deny God. That's what we need to be really afraid of. And now fear of the Lord isn't fear of being punished by God. It's really about honoring God. That's why the book of Proverbs says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's about recognizing God's immeasurable love for us, that he created all things, and desiring to live up to the great love and mercy that he shows us. That's why we seek wisdom. That's why we seek to live wisely. It begins with giving God his due for all that he's given us. I've always described fear of the Lord in terms of not wanting to disappoint God. It's kind of like when I was a kid. There were times I did bad things. I'll stay out after curfew. And my parents would punish me for them. I know it's hard for you all to believe, but I wasn't actually perfect. I'm perfect now, but I wasn't perfect then. And in fact, sometimes, even after I'd been punished, I'd do the same thing again. Because, you know, maybe it seemed to be worth the punishment. Or I'd learn how not to get caught. But every once in a while, I would do something where my dad would sit me down and he'd look at me and he'd say, Michael, we're really disappointed in you. That's not how we taught you to behave. That's not how we act in this family. Doing that is not what it means to be part of this family. And those moments would kill me. I never wanted to disappoint my mom and dad. I knew they loved me, and I knew they deserved better than me letting them down. And that, to me, is what fear of the Lord is about. Not wanting to let God down after all he has done for me, all the love that he's shown me. And yet I do. I fall into temptation. I listen to the lies. The lies that the world tells us, or the lies that we tell ourselves. And I'm falling for it way too often. And what are those lies? Well, to me, there are three big lies that the world tells us or that we tell ourselves. Probably more, but these are the three I want to talk about today. The first is that you are not good enough. The second is that you are all alone in the world. And the third is that God is deceiving you. The first thing I'll say is that, like all great lies, they're actually more a twisting or a distortion of the truth rather than out and out fabrications. You know, other fabrications we can see through very easily. Twisting the truth makes it seem more plausible. Let's look at that first lie. You are not good enough. This is where you tell yourself, or you felt or heard it so much that you've internalized it to the point where you believe that you aren't worthy of God's love. Where you start to believe that, you know, no one could really love you. I mean, look at you, you're pathetic. Who could ever love you? You've done horrible things. God will never really want to bring you into heaven. And here's where the lie gets really pernicious. You start to believe that you can never be good enough. So why even try? And the result may be that you end up rejecting God because you're convinced he's going to reject you. So you reject him first. That's the twisting and the distortion of the truth into where it can be so deceiving that it can lead to horrible consequences. And the thing is, there is a truth there. I've said it before. You aren't good enough to get into heaven on your own. None of us are. Not even the greatest saint. But God loves you nonetheless. In fact, that's the whole point of today's second reading. St. Paul talks about how we as sinners merit condemnation. Yet Jesus offers what St. Paul calls this free gift of his love and his saving grace. And it doesn't matter what you've done. You are actually lovable. You are lovable to God, and you are loved by God. So loved that he sent his son to save you, to free you from sin, and bring you into eternal life with him. God the Father is the prodigal, the father in the story of the prodigal son, who looks out waiting, seeking us, waiting to embrace us, waiting to bring us back into our home. The second lie that we tell ourselves is that you're all alone in the world, that no one really knows what you're going through, no one can really understand. Who knows where this one starts? You know, maybe this lie started when some relationship you were in, maybe even your parents were people who had some sort of a distorted notion of love, where people used you. And that left you feeling isolated, alone, used. And so you buy into the lie that no one really cares for you, that no one can actually know you. And so that you have to, and then that you fall into the temptation to look out for number one, because after all, nobody else is going to do it. And here the result is that you too start using others to satisfy your needs, your emotional needs, your physical needs, whatever. To this, God says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Yet even these may forget, but I will not forget you." And Jesus today says, "Even the hairs of your head are all counted, so do not be afraid." God knows you so intimately. He knows everything you've gone through. God knows every hair on your head. You are never alone. He knows the pain and the hurt, and there is nothing to hide from him. There's nothing that's going to shock him. And he will never take advantage of you. He will never take advantage of your vulnerability. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The third And the final lie that I want to talk about is that God is deceiving you. That you cannot trust that God actually wants your happiness. And this, in fact, is the original lie that the devil used in the Garden of Eden. The serpent told Eve that God was deceiving them, and he didn't want them to become gods themselves, and that the fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden would open their eyes, that they would become gods if they ate of it. And the crazy thing is that in some twisted way, they did become gods. They decided for themselves what was good for them, what was bad for them, without regard for anyone else. That kind of fits what pagan gods were like. What was good in and of itself or bad in and of itself is secondary to what a god wanted or desired. Similarly, Adam and Eve decided, I think it's good for me, so I'm going to do it regardless of anyone or anything else. In modern terms, this means we say, oh, it feels good to me at the moment, so I'm going to do it. And the modern day lie that the devil, the world, or we use is that God doesn't really want you to be happy. God really wants you to be his servant, his minion, you know, not his beloved son or daughter. So God sets up all these rules and commandments that say, don't do this, you can't do that. And they're all there to prevent you from doing what you feel like doing, being happy. And yet it's a lie. Because Jesus said, I have come that you may have the life and have it to the full. God tells the prophet Jeremiah, I have plans for your welfare and not your harm. Plans to give you a future with hope. God loves you and wants you to be happy and fulfilled for all eternity, not just some fleeting moments of pleasure. And the lie that the devil told Eve, well, God actually does want you to become God. Not a God. He actually wants you to become like the Father, like the Son. He wants you to love like he does. Love one another as I have loved you. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to become him, to become as loving, as gracious, as merciful as he is. And God knows that treating others with respect and dignity and wanting them to find happiness and fulfillment too, that will help you to grow, to be more like him. Hence the commandments to love God and love your neighbor. We should fear the lies and manipulations and temptations that the world tells us or that we tell ourselves. And we need to fear them because they can lead us to reject God, to deny God, to lose all trust in God, and to doubt his love for us, to doubt his mercy, to doubt God's desire to see us fulfilled in heaven. We ought to think, if there are any of those lies that I buy into in some way, do I think that I'm not good enough to be loved? Do I believe that not even God can really understand what I'm going through? That I'm going through this life all alone? Do I believe that God is deceiving me? That he doesn't care about my eternal happiness and fulfillment? Is there some part of those lies that I buy into? And if so, we need to renounce it now. I know for me, there's some part of that first lie that I fall into at times. And so I try to recognize it when I do find myself falling into that lie again. I try to remind myself of God's love for me, even though I often don't deserve it. And I ask for God's help to get better at renouncing the lie and accepting that Jesus came for me, that he died for me, that he wants nothing more for me than to be with him in heaven. For you too, you may have a propensity to fall into one or the other of those lies, but I believe we can overcome them. We can try and recognize those lies, how they manifest themselves in our life. We can remind ourselves of the truth that God himself has revealed to us, the truth that you are loved, that you are never alone, and that God wants your eternal happiness. Remembering, holding on to those truths, that's the key. And always wanting to live up to that great love that is shown to us by God, that great love that gave up his son for us. And yes, actually being afraid of disappointing God. That's the way to avoid some of the traps that the world sets for us, that the devil sets for us, that we set for ourselves sometimes. Recognizing that we are loved and always wanting to live up to it. And being afraid to disappoint God. That's perhaps the most rational fear there is.